Today on Annenberg Radio News. It's ribbon-cutting day on the USC campus. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Wednesday, October 1st, 2014. I'm Charlie McGovern, filling in today for Carrie Poppy, who we hope will be feeling better soon so she can be back in the studio next week. Students, alumni, and supporters gathered at USC today for the grand opening of the new Wallace Annenberg building. Wallace Annenberg herself was amongst the speakers at the ceremony. Sarah Zahedi reports. And we're having some technical difficulties. USC's Director of Journalism, Willow Bay, says it's not just the building that is cutting edge, but what's happening inside it.
The resources that Annenberg students have here are unparalleled. Not just the technology, which is world class, but the technology and the faculty. The scholars and professors and practitioners that come into this building are the best in the industry across all platforms. Period, full stop.
At today's ceremony, alumni and donors got to see the realization of a year's planning when they walked into the building's media center.
I worked in broadcasting for a while. Oh, it's really spectacular. I graduated in 58 and everything was over in the Hancock Foundation. And Studio B was our main center. And I understand it's more or less been abandoned now. It's certainly out of date compared to this. This is really amazing.
Looks first class, looks exciting, looks welcoming. Like you're in the middle of everything and you can see it all at the same time. I like that.
Birgit von Heinze. I was hosting a TV show on German television. This is amazing. This is not standard. You won't never find a university in Germany which offers this kind of standard.
I'm an alum, and my three children and husband also went here. I'm a donor to the building, so I'm here to see the grand opening. I'm excited. I'm thrilled.
And that was Bill Hermagnes, Leanne Reynolds, Birgit von Heinz, and Anne Levis. Those were just some of their reactions to the new Annenberg building. The Los Angeles City Council voted today to raise the minimum wage for hotel workers to $15.37 an hour. The vote was 11-2, with Mitch Englander and Bernard Parks voting no. If signed by Mayor Eric Garcetti, the ordinance would require hotels with 300 or more rooms to start paying workers the new wage starting July 1st. Hotels with at least 150 rooms get an additional year to comply. And now we're going to return, and we've got that story for you about USC's grand opening of the new Wallace Annenberg building from Sarah Zahedi.
The sound of the Trojan marching band means there's a big event on campus. Today, an estimated 700 guests came to inaugurate the new Wallace Annenberg Hall in the heart of University Park. The building has been in the making for 4 years as a response to the new digital age. Annenberg Dean Ernest Wilson gathered input from students, faculty, and staff alike on how to design a collaborative workspace.
They saw the need for 21st century spaces that are not containers, but are connectors, that are places of innovation, not places of inhibition.
The five-story building has 23 classrooms, 91 workstations, and a 20,000 square foot media center with new TV and radio studios. USC President Max Nikias noted this new collaborative space equips students with the technology and skills they need to become capable journalists and communicators.
Today, as we embrace the birth of a revolutionary building dedicated to advancing the fields of communication and journalism, we also embrace a philanthropy dedicated to advancing the lives of our students.
One former student is Alex Witt, now an MSNBC host. She said with the new building, there's no way students won't be competitive in the job market by the time they graduate.
Give me the interns from USC, because I'm telling you something, come to me, you're hired. That's it. After this.
The major donor who made this building possible is Wallace Annenberg. She urged students to be as innovative as they can with their work.
We're depending on you, and personally, I can't think of a more worthy investment.
And with that, the speakers cut the ribbon open to Wallace Annenberg Hall. The crowd then excitedly poured into the new media center among students working on deadline. And somehow, despite the noise, I was able to finish this story on time. Sarah Zahedi, Annenberg Radio News.
Residents of Bell Garden are in shock after their mayor was killed. Daniel Crespo died yesterday. The sheriff's department says his wife, Lavette, shot him multiple times in the chest. Taylor Haney reports.
Bruce Hernandez is the Crespo's neighbor. He's known the mayor since Hernandez was a boy. From what he remembers, the Crespos were a happy family.
So when I was told about this, I couldn't believe it. And him being the person he was like an older brother to me. You know, I've known him for like 18 years. He knows my family. I know his family. And it's a shock.
The sheriff's department says Daniel and Lavette Crespo were arguing when their son Daniel Jr. intervened. Then, they say, Mrs. Crespo grabbed a gun and shot her husband. He died before reaching the hospital. The shock of his death is reverberating through Bell Gardens. Stephanie Perez works at a local grocery store. She remembers the mayor shopping there and the positive effect he had on the community. She wonders if anyone could possibly replace him.
He was a really nice guy and he helped a lot around in Bell Gardens. I really don't know who would have that that brave and that, you know, courage to help people like he has. So I don't know who's going to be the next person. So, I am a little bit worried.
The sheriff's department says the mayor's wife was detained yesterday for questioning, but was released. The district attorney's office hasn't yet decided whether it will file charges against Lavette Crespo. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
Shredda Morali Duran contributed to that report. The LAPD is finding itself again the target of community protests. About 100 people are expected to gather at this hour outside police headquarters. Kelly Omar reports on why the group is protesting.
Police shootings across the country are a hot topic in the news, and Los Angeles is no exception. 37-year-old Omar Abrego and 25-year-old Azelle Ford were shot by Los Angeles police officers in two separate incidents in August. United University Church pastor Frank Wolf organized today's protest.
There have been two young men recently killed in Los Angeles, and we certainly feel as though those two deaths were unnecessary, that they were wrong, that the police did not need to respond with violent force.
Azelle Ford's parents are suing the city, arguing that officers knew Ford was mentally ill. A number of police shootings involve mentally ill victims. In San Francisco, KQED reports that half of the people shot by police officers were mentally ill.
But of course, these two deaths have taken place in a context nationwide where we see young black and brown people being killed all the time.
LAPD press officer Bruce Borian says he wasn't aware of today's protests.
People have the right to protest wherever they want to.
This afternoon's rally is part of a national month of resistance to mass incarceration. That includes art shows, events on campuses, and sermons in churches. In L.A., these events will culminate in a march on October 22nd from Olympic and Broadway to LAPD headquarters. Kelly O'Mara, Annenberg Radio News.
Sheriff's deputies participated in a multi-agency active shooter drill this morning in Norwalk. The drill trains law enforcement officers and paramedics in how to respond to a shooting with multiple casualties. This drill, and several others like it held around the nation, come in the wake of mass school shootings. Officers will use the results of the drill to evaluate their plans for handling mass shootings. It may be October, but the weather this week proves it's always summer in California. Tonight will be cool, 65 degrees, but tomorrow we're going to hit the mid-90s during the day and stay there throughout the weekend. So if you've been wanting to go to the beach, this weekend might be the perfect opportunity. And don't forget your sunscreen. Later on Annenberg Radio News. Today marks the 50th anniversary of the Music Center in downtown Los Angeles. Stick around for more. Two children are recovering after being sent to the hospital for showing signs of a critical illness. Both were diagnosed with the enterovirus, a respiratory illness that looks like the common cold. Health officials say the virus can be spread through coughing, sneezing, or touching contaminated surfaces. No vaccine for the virus is currently available. Infectious diseases specialist Dr. Pia Penaraj of Children's Hospital says there are precautions you can take.
The most important prevention is hand washing. They should stay away from other kids that are sick. If they become sick themselves, they should stay home. Always cough and sneeze into their arm or into a tissue if that's available.
Most children will only show symptoms of the common cold if they contract the virus, but kids with respiratory diseases like asthma are at a higher risk of further illness. The Los Angeles City Council voted today on a resolution to declare the first Saturday of October as annual Dia de Latino America. A group of Latin American consuls submitted the request for the resolution through the office of Councilman Gil Cedillo. Supporters of the resolution hope the day will serve to confirm the contribution of Latin American residents to American society. Now back to the opening of the new Wallace Annenberg Hall here on the USC campus. Guests were oohing and aahing over the new building all day, but few people know the work that was put into creating a building that both looks beautiful and houses a large amount of technology. Martha Daniels spoke to the architects and technicians who helped design our new home.
When you walk up to Wallace Annenberg Hall, the first thing you see is red brick, soaring Gothic architecture, collaborative spaces for students, and a three-story tall media wall that makes up the heart of the new building. For that, we can thank Stephen Sutter, one of the technology supervisors for the new school.
And I thought it'd be a great idea, and it started out as simply a very low-resolution projection to give the space some architectural color.
Now, every student, professor, and visitor that walks in is greeted by a wall of high-resolution screens that feature everything from student work to CNN. But that's not even the most ambitious part of a big school born of bigger ideas. The monster of a building stands 5 stories tall and houses 88,000 square feet of classrooms, media studios, and newsrooms. It's home to the Annenberg School of Communications and Journalism and the student publications that make up the heart of one of the top journalism programs in the country.
It was a matter of form and functionality. A lot of people, I could tell that everybody wanted it to be a beautiful space.
That's Chuck Boyle, Director of Multimedia Technologies at the Annenberg School, who says his main challenge was integrating old media forms with the new while giving everyone the spaces they needed. To do this, the design and technology team aimed to create a space able to integrate multiple forms of news media.
You know, we wanted an assignment desk that was a converged assignment desk for all the outlets. So putting it in the center was, it just made sense. You know, it's a centerpiece for all the outlets.
The rotating desk in the front of the building was also made to multitask. When he was given 12 extra feet to work with in the forum, Boyle combined ideas for a Good Morning America-style desk with requests for a podcast studio. And thus, a vidcast, netcast, podcast studio unique to Annenberg was born.
So it really worked out. I love solving multiple problems at once.
Also unique to Annenberg is the halo of monitors above the assignment desk.
In a lot of newsrooms, I think they kind of take the easy way, and they put the monitors along the walls around their edges. And I thought that halo, that double-layered halo, was kind of like a nice crown to that assignment desk.
The brain of the building itself is tucked out of sight downstairs. Here's Stephen Sutter again.
But in the basement, there is this room. It's at least half filled with racks that has all of the back end. Because most of everything you see here, think of it as a computer with you're using the mouse and the monitors, but everything else is downstairs.
Today's grand opening celebrated the culmination of years of efforts to blend functional design with media technology. As students settle in, any obstacles they face definitely won't come from the building itself. Martha Daniel, Annenberg, Radio News.
Los Angeles City Council officials mingled with performers at the Downtown Los Angeles Music Center to celebrate its 50th anniversary. Vanessa Akoth-Obo spoke to those who were there.
About 100 people gathered at the Music Center, drawn by smooth blues and star power. Zev Yaroslavsky, Los Angeles County Supervisor, praised the center for being an incubator for the city's talent, and he expects it will continue to develop innovation in the performing arts.
But this is an exciting place, and it has not stood still. So today is an opportunity to reaffirm the vision of Dorothy Chandler and the people she brought together to build this music center, but also to reaffirm our commitment to the next generation or two of audiences and actors and musicians and what can be done here to continue to make this a relevant, cutting-edge center for the performing arts.
In the spirit of the day, Yaroslavsky looked back on LA's somewhat rocky road to becoming a cultural force.
Remember, 50 years ago, Los Angeles culturally was still in the backwater. We didn't have a whole lot. We had a Philharmonic Orchestra that played in a dingy auditorium on Fifth and Olive, the LA Philharmonic Auditorium. I remember as a little boy going there. And beyond that, arts in this town was motion pictures and some television. Today, this is one of the great metropolitan areas for the arts.
We have a lot to celebrate. We have 50 years of performances and 50 years of great education programs for the kids all over the county.
That's Lisa Specht, chair of the center's board of directors. She's focused on the young future performers.
And we wanted to rededicate ourselves. We wanted to make a commitment that the next 50 years will be even better.
The center has an event scheduled for December to celebrate plans for the next 50 years. Vanessa Akoth-Obo, Annenberg Radio News.
Saved by Grace is USC's only gospel choir. Now one of its former directors, Marcus Pettit, is trying to start his own praise and worship group called Electric Praise. Michelle Zanarosa has this sound portrait.
First chord, go.
Oh,
second chord.
One.
Last chord.
Oh.
I grew up in the church, a Baptist church in Seattle. I've been singing solo since the age of 3. I would be the kind of kid that wouldn't want to go out to the play structure during choir rehearsal. I would sit on my mom's lap quietly for 2+ hours and just watch the choir because I was always amazed and kind of drawn to music. I ultimately was the choir director for the Saved by Grace Gospel Choir, which is the only gospel choir on USC's campus. And when I graduated from the university, I wanted to continue that. So I started my own praise and worship group, which is known as Marcus Pettit and Eclectic Praise. From our ages, from our denominations that we come from, we each come from various denominations. And there's a lot of different genres that come together and that culminate to create the music and to give the sound that comes from Eclectic Praise. It's definitely eclectic. You're going to hear definitely jazz throughout the harmonies. You'll have those major nines, you'll have all those tensions, all those chords. My biggest goal for Eclectic Praise is that ultimately that we bring people closer to God. You know, there's one thing about creating music that touches people, but there's another thing that, you know, is creating music and changing lives. And that's really, at the end of the day, what I really want to be about.
And now it's time to hear the sounds of another place that's uniquely Los Angeles.
My name is Midori Sanchez, and we're here in San Pedro, and we're looking at this giant Dutch rubber ducky.
Everyone wants to come to here to see the duck.
I think it records my childhood.
There's something about it that's so adorable. Like, it's like you're looking at a giant bathtub almost.
Hi,
It's all about connections. You've probably heard this mantra from your parents and teachers since you were old enough to worry about a job. And you've probably shrugged it off. Ev Boyle, a global research fellow at Annenberg, told our Detours reporter that if you're not hustling, you're not in the game.
I think when I was 20, I was more inside of myself and inside of my own head than I am now. And I think a lot of 20-year-olds are. And I think a lot of people in general are. They sort of stay within themselves. And when you put yourself out there, a lot happens. One thing I've been doing more recently, and it works almost every time, is just when you come across someone that inspires you, to just send them a message, to call them, to stop by their office, and to just tell them that what they're doing, that you really like it, and you're interested in hearing more about it, or interested in doing something similar. And people are so responsive to that. I mean, even the coolest people in the world who are doing so much awesome stuff, if you approach them in a way that's a little different and a little creative, and that, or you're proposing an idea to them or something like this, I mean, people are so open to talking about it. It reminds me of another quick story, which is that I met a girl a year or two ago, and at the time, I was telling myself a lot of reasons why it wasn't a good idea to pursue something with this person. For whatever reason, I watched this movie, Before Sunrise, and I was like, whoa, life is short, connections are important, connections don't come along all the time, so it's important to kind of grab onto those. 'Cause when you're 20 years old, you think, hey, you know, here I'm kind of falling in love with someone, having this great experience, but that's going to happen all the time. I'm only 20. I'm going to meet dozens of people, maybe hundreds of people that I love and have this great connection with. And as you get older, when you're 30 or 40, you realize that that's not the case, that those people come along pretty rarely in life, the people you really connect with. So that when they do, it's important to grab a hold of that and take advantage of it and sort of see what's there.
Detours reporter Kristen M. Deutsch produced that story. The first television ad was unveiled today for Proposition 45. The measure calls for strategies to keep a lid on health insurance increases. There's a lot at stake in what is expected to be an expensive and hard-fought battle. USC's Gregory Stevens and the Keck School of Medicine spoke about the proposition.
But what it does is it gives more of the individual plan, where people buy insurance through an insurance exchange here in California called Cover California, or people who buy insurance outside that, those health insurance plans would be subject to the regulation. And the insurance commissioner could decide whether their rates as proposed by the health insurance plans are reasonable or whether they put an undue burden on people.
Consumer Watchdog says it picked this fight because insurance companies have had too much power and not enough limits on determining how much to raise rates. They say while many states have seen their insurance rates go down, California's have continued to rise. And now we check in with Jeremy Chen to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thank you, Charlie. Well, coming up at 6, we talk to some ATVN alums about how they think the new Annenberg building will help future students and give them perhaps an advantage. Next, police are investigating the shooting of Bell Gardens Mayor Daniel Crespo. We talked to a woman who heard the gunshots that led to his death. And finally, Ebola has been officially found in the U.S. We talked with L.A. health officials on what's being done to keep it from coming to L.A. All this and more coming up at ATVN at 6 on Trojan Vision.
And who are some of the people that you talked to?
Well, great alums such as KTLA 5 reporter Frank Buckley. He mentioned he was extremely jealous of what the students are capable of. He mentioned that he had to use VHS tapes when he was a student there. Crazy.
And so over at ATVN, I haven't really spent much time in that studio. What's it like over there?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing. We're shooting in full HD. We have the green screens, all new graphics. We have a little running ticker on the bottom. It's great.
How have you liked having this converged newsroom where we're all sort of in the same spot?
Well, having Neon Tommy, ARN, and ATVN all in one place makes things a lot easier. I think we are able to collaborate on stories, figure out, all right, you can do this, you can do that. I think it allows us to become a more cohesive unit as a media center in a way.
How about the giant video screen out in the lobby? I think we might be on it right now, or we were at one point.
Oh, yeah, the giant video screen. When I saw that thing, I thought, you know, there was a rave going on when they turned it on last night. But, yeah, it's I think it's going to be good, like seeing, like, all the newscasts and everything on there.
All right. Well, Jeremy, thanks for stopping by. And remember to check out ATVN's newscast at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thank you, Charlie.
Cal State Long Beach is holding two events today in honor of Nelson Mandela and the 60th anniversary of Brown versus the Board of Education. They honored Mandela's legacy of democracy, freedom, social justice, and human rights. Oliver Brown's daughters also reviewed the Supreme Court decision and the state of our current education system this afternoon. The event closed with a panel's examination of the education policies following the review. Today is the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Today, the United Firefighters of LA County gave the American Cancer Society a $10,000 donation for breast cancer research. The firefighters are also raising funds for the Making Strides of Los Angeles Walk, a non-competitive 5K that supports breast cancer research. It will take place on Saturday, October 18th, downtown. That's it for this Wednesday. We had help today from Katie Chen, David Hodari, Kayla Norwood, Amanda Skurlock, and Shraddha Murali Duran. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Camille Requiestas is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Victor Figueroa. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, in the brand new Wallace Annenberg Hall, I'm Charlie McGovern.